الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, or the Sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, dealing particularly with the quality of Mahabba, love. And mashallah, there are so far we've quoted 7 verses. Tonight will be the 8th inshallah. Otherwise we've quoted 7 different verses from the Quran, all of them quoted by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to prove that Allah does love. And we said you need to know this because you will get the Christians telling you, you know, your God is not a loving God. Only our God is the loving God, and you know, the loving Father in heaven or whatever they call him. May Allah guide them to Islam. But they claim that our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not merciful, is not loving, and things of this nature. So if you have knowledge of these things, you say, oh, excuse me, let me quote to you some verses from the Quran. And then ba, 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 you know, just like that, like bullets. And you let them know that, you know, Allah does love. But you tell them, you have not done what is necessary to qualify yourself for the love. Allah does love, but not everyone, and you're disqualified because you're not doing the things that He loves. So He does love, but not everybody, as they claim. You know, He loves everyone. He loves you. They tell a kafir, Jesus loves you. How do you know Jesus loves him, man? They just say anything. You know, they love, love, love. So anyways, none of that love. We don't need none of that love. We want the real love that is attained through taqwa, righteousness, belief in Allah, according to the revelation, and doing righteous deeds. That love we want. The other kind of love is just fake. So we mentioned the last ayah was in Surah As-Saff, right? And today and tonight, I always say today instead of tonight, mashallah, tabarakallah, ayah number 8, al-ayah al-thamina qawluhu wa huwa al-ghafurul wadud. Everybody knows Surah Al-Buruj, right? Verse 14, and He is oft forgiving, meaning often forgiving, always forgiving, the most forgiving, full of love. Wadud, excuse me, is not just mahabba, love, yuhibbu, loves. That is actually weaker in its intensity of love. A stronger meaning and more eloquent and more befitting for that is al-wud, wadud, meaning full of love. Yani extreme love, not just the average love. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only loving, rather He is wadud. And the Shaykh will elaborate more on what exactly is that. Al-ghafur, الساتر لذنوب عباده المتجاوز عنها. What ghafur means, the one who conceals the sins of his servants and he overlooks them. And what is intended by overlook, don't think in the literal sense, yani he doesn't see them, meaning he disregards them. He will not hold them accountable. He will not bring them to account for these sins. If Allah does maghfirah to one of us, meaning these particular sins are disregarded and they are concealed, you're not exposed to the public, furthermore, you will not be brought to account for them. Allah will forgive them. That's what يَغْفِرَهُمْ الذُّنُوبِ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبِ, meaning He conceals them. We said the word maghfira comes from the maghfar, which is a helmet that the soldier wears during the battle to protect himself. And that's where the word came from, because it protects you from the consequences of your sins. That's why there's غَفُور maghfira. And I think this will come eventually in the book. It will, inshallah. طيب. الودود مأخوذ من الود وهو خالص المحبة. It is derived, الودود is derived from the root word wood. And wood, according to the Shaykh, is خالص المحبة, the ultimate sense of love, the purest form of love, the purest form of love. وهي بمعنى واد أو واد وبمعنى مودود. And it has actually both meanings, an action done by Allah and an action done to Allah. The same verb, would. Wad, meaning Allah is the one who loves. And mawdood is the one that means Allah is loved. So Wadud actually carries both meaning, meaning Allah loves and Allah is loved. He loves immensely among His servants, those who are qualified, and He is loved immensely by His servants as well. لأنه عز وجل محب ومحبوب, because Allah is loving and He is loved. كما قال تعالى فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه, as in the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah we used earlier. Then verily Allah shall bring about people who love, whom Allah loves and they love Him. So then Allah loves and He is loved. And Wadud has both meanings. فالله عز وجل واد ومودود. Then Allah is loving and He is loved. واد لأوليائه. He is loving to His أولياء. The أولياء, as Allah described in the Quran, الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. So the ulama say, whoever has iman associated with taqwa, then he is the wali of Allah. Not what is understood in this current day and time, where the wali is some dead person in the grave, where the people go and, you know, sacrifice some animals there because he is waliullah, you know. Or they bring you a Shi'i who is more misguided than a donkey, and they tell you this is, you know, ayatullah or waliullah. Wallah, he has nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is on vacation for the last 30 years. So these names and titles that the people give, you know, we don't buy this stuff. Waliullah, any believer who has taqwa of Allah, who is really at the taqi, he fears Allah, he is the wali. Meaning, Allah will protect him. Allah will dispose his affairs, arrange his affairs, and Allah will keep him safe from any harm that may befall on his iman. He may be afflicted with physical calamity, with material calamities, but his iman, his faith in Allah, his belief will remain sound and protected. This is the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْلِيَاؤُهُ يَوَدُّونَهُ أَوْ يُوَدُّونَهُ. And the righteous servants of Allah, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحِبُّونَ الْوُصُولَ إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَى جَنَّتِهِ وَرِضْوَانِهِ. They love to make it to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His garden, to Jannah, to Paradise, and رِضْوَانِهِ, to His pleasure. The Shaykh said, وَفِي الْآيَةِ اسْمَانِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ. This ayah has two names from the names of Allah. What are they, brothers?
Which
ayah? The ayah has only three words. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ
الْوَدُودُ.
الْوَدُودُ. MashaAllah. That was an easy one, huh? What are the names? وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. Right, good. That was easy. What about the sifat?
Love.
Attributes?
Forgiving.
Also love. And loving. There you go. So here, each name indicates a quality. Because we said sometimes there's a quality without the name. I remind you. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. Is that a name of Allah? No. It's not one of the names of Allah and He has none co-equal to Him. But it's an attribute of Allah. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. It's not a name of Allah, but it's an attribute of Allah. So you could say that in that ayah, ayat al-Kursi, there's this attribute, but we don't have this name. In this particular case, each name indicates an attribute. Ghafoor, because of the attribute of Maghfira. Wadood, because of the attribute of Wud or love. Full of love. Intense love. Immense love. Yani abundance of love. Not just the average love. وَأَتَمَنَّى. Now this actually concludes ayah number 8. Shaykh bin Uthameen, rahmatullahi alayh, he say here, he says the following. وَأَتَمَنَّى لَوْ أَنَّ الْمُؤَلِّفَ رحمه الله أضاف آية تاسعة في المحبة. He says, I wish, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, after explaining what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah quoted from these ayat, he said, I wish if the muallif, the author, may Allah have mercy on him, had added a ninth ayah dealing with mahabba. There was one that Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen didn't mention that Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen will elaborate on. Can anyone, yeah, and give it a wild guess. What ayah? What ayah in the Quran indicates love? Let me give you a hint. It doesn't have the word mahabba. It doesn't have wadood, and it doesn't have mahabba as in the other ayat. Wa ahsinu inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, right? Inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqin. None of that. But it deals with love by the context.
Last chapter?
Huh? No, no. It's in Surah An-Nisa. خلاص, we're gonna stay here till Fajr if we're gonna wait for you brothers to give us the answer. Yeah, well, it's difficult to guess. I'm not saying anything. I wouldn't have guessed it had I not read it here. So don't think, yani, I'm trying to say that I'm something else. Anyways, the Sheikh said, وَهِيَ الْخُلَّةِ الْخُلَّةِ خُلَّةِ Where does it خُلَّةِ come from? خَلِيل. Hey, although it is someone's name, but hey, you are intimate friend. لقوله تعالى, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah has taken Ibrahim as an intimate friend. Surah An-Nisa verse 125. The Shaykh said, وَالْخَلِيلُ هُوَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي أَعْلَى الْمَحَبَّةِ. Khalil, your intimate friend, this is the highest degree of love. The highest degree of love. يعني, there's no such thing as intimate friendship unless love is a pre-existing condition. There must be love there. Otherwise, you cannot be friends with someone. So that's a given. فَالْخُلَّةُ أَعْلَى أَنْوَاعُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. So, khulla, which is intimate friendship, is the highest level of love. لأن الخليل هو الذي وصل حبه إلى سويداء القلب. Why is it called خليل? The خليل is the one whose the love of that person has made it to the depth of your heart, to the inner part of your heart. وتقلل مجاري عروقه, and it's traveling in your blood veins. It's traveling in your veins. I mean, love is just all over the place. وليس فوق الخلة شيء من أنواع المحبة أبدا. There's nothing above that. After الخلة, this is the highest degree of love. Then he quoted one of the statements of the poets of the Arabs back in the day. يقول الشاعر لمعشوقته, he says this to his loved one, a female in this case, قد تخللت مسلك الروح مني وبذا سمي الخليل خليلا. He said regarding this, his mistress or whatever she was, or the woman that he loved, let's say, not accuse him of anything else, because this probably is pre-Islamic, you know, these particular poetry is pre-Islamic, so it's not like it's a sahabi or something. He says, قَدْ تَخَلَّلَتْ مَسْلَكَ الرُّوحَ مِنِّي. She has, and the word uses, قَدْ تَخَلَّلَتْ, she has basically taken the place where my soul is. يعني, the same way your soul, السلام عليكم, تفضل. The same way your soul is occupying your body, it runs everywhere, you know, your soul. She has taken that position in him. Yeah, and she is his soul. She is this everything in him. وَبِذَا سُمِّيَ الْخَلِيلُ خَلِيلًا. And because of that, the Khalil was called the Khalil. Because it becomes يعني, mixed with that person as if they are one entity. You know, it's just the love is just all over the place. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever loved anyone like this. You know, people feel this way in the first few months, and then, you know, they talk about divorce and everything. So, you know, I don't know what happened to the love. But, you know.
So you said about the blood flowing. You said the word in Arabic, khalwa?
No, not khalwa. وَتَخَلَّلَ مَجَارِ عُرُوكَ. تَخَلَّلَ, يعني he traveled into the inner veins.
So that تَخَلَّل means travel.
No, تَخَلَّل, يعني how do I explain it in English? It's to kind of go inside of something and then mix with it, like merging.
Okay.
It's like a form of immersion or something. Allahu alam.
Yani, so that's where the root word comes from.
Right. Hey, yani, to go and mix with something and they just become yani, so attached to one another that you cannot differentiate between them. Perhaps. Wallahu alam. Al-Muhim. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يحب أصحابه كلهم لكن ما اتخذ واحدا منهم خليلا أبدا. The Prophet ﷺ loved all of his companions, yet he never took any one of them as a khalil, as an intimate friend. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هو يخطب الناس. He said once while he was addressing the people, لو كنت متخذا من أمتي خليلا لكان لاتخذت أبا بكر. If he told the people, if I were to take an intimate friend among the people, among my ummah, then I would have taken Abu Bakr. But then even Abu Bakr did not reach that. He loved him. We know that he loved him. He was asked by Amr ibn al-As, if I remember correctly. Amr ibn al-As, whenever the Prophet ﷺ would see him, he would smile at him, you know. Always, every single time he saw him, he smiled at him. So the brothers started thinking, man, I'm the most beloved one to the Prophet ﷺ, you know. He did this with all his companions, but the brothers thought he had a special, you know, place in his heart. So he wanted to get that, you know, hear it in his own ear. He said, O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved to you? He told him, Aisha. He's like, oh man, you know, the brother was burnt. So he said, okay, the woman, this is a woman. He said, amongst the men, he said, her father, Abu Bakr. So then the brother said, you know, I'm just going to stop, I'm not going to continue to ask. He realized that that love for, you know, was that smile was not only for you, it was for everyone else. So, but you know, he made him, but this is how the Prophet ﷺ used to be. Everybody thought that, you know, he truly loved them. He wasn't fake, you know, he wasn't mean, he wasn't, you know, fadh ghaliz al-qalb, as Allah said, had he been so difficult, rough, you know, and the people would have just dispersed away from him. These people would just run away. So, yeah, that was it. Whenever I remember this narration, it always, you know, gets me this, how they used to live this life, subhanAllah, very different than us. Anyways, إذن أبو بكر هو أحب الناس إليه. So Abu Bakr is the most beloved of people to him. And he said that clearly, but he still said, I will not take a Khalil. I will not take a Khalil among the creation. Why? لكن لم يصل إلى درجة الخلة. He did not reach the level of خلة. أبو بكر رضي الله عنه. لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يتخذ أحدا خليلا. لكن أخوة الإسلام ومودته. وأما الخلة فهي بينه وبين ربه. Because the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not take anyone as a Khalil. Rather, it was just the brotherhood of Islam and the love associated with that. As for khulla, then it was between him and his Lord. It was between him and Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. This was the intimate friend and the ultimate love that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. It was that to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله اتخذني خليلا كما اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا. He said, verily Allah has taken me as a Khalil as He took Ibrahim as a Khalil. And actually the Prophet ﷺ is at a higher degree than Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. He is at the top of all the prophets and messengers who preceded him صلى الله عليه وسلم. He has a virtue that no one has. He is the one who has the ultimate shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment. The reckoning will begin per his shafa'ah. He will prostrate. He will ask Allah. And Allah says, He will be said to him, Ya Muhammad, ishfa' tushaffa' is'al tu'ta. Seek intercession and it will be granted. Ask and you will be answered. And so he will intercede for the whole creation. And then the Day of Judgment will begin. Although they would go to Ibrahim prior to that and he would say, Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, myself. He would not go for that. So this is يعني, from one of the narrations and the other evidences we have that Prophet ﷺ was, according to the ulama, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his rank is number one.
So every creation will be forgiven?
No. This is an intercession for the Day of Judgment to begin. Because the people actually will be resurrected and they will be waiting for 50,000 years before the judgment begins. Before Allah comes to judge between His creation, where this will go to the hellfire and this will go to Jannah. This period of time, 50,000 years, the people will despair. They will become in agony, suffering the heat and the difficulties of the Day of Judgment. Then they will start looking for who will intercede for them with Allah just for the judgment to begin. And they will go through the prophets and the messengers from Adam to Nuh, from Nuh to Ibrahim, from Ibrahim to Musa, Isa. He will send them to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, who will say, Ana laha, I am for it. Then he will intercede with Allah. Then he will intercede for the judgment to begin. And then the judgment will begin. You see that? That's it. Now he has another intercession for his ummah. Yes, those who have been decreed to enter the fire, he will intercede for some, for them to be entering Jannah. But according to other narrations, usually this is for those who are upon the Sunnah, not those who were against the Sunnah. Because we have in other narrations when some of the people of his ummah will come to him and the angels will prevent them from coming, he will say, Ashabi, ummati, ummati, these are my men. They will say, you don't know what they introduce into this deen after you. So he will say, suhkan, suhkan, may they be destroyed. He would not want to deal with them. So, because you may be upon the sunnah and be sinful. You may be upon the sunnah and wind up entering Jahannam because of sins. You know, because innovation is one thing, and being upon the sunnah is a whole other thing. So usually this is for those who are upon the sunnah. Allahu alam, if it will go on to the... I will not be able to say anything like that. But is that clear, inshallah? Anyways, we'll try to postpone any pending issues till the end of the dars, inshallah, as to not to go off the subject, because I usually lose this chain of thoughts, as I did right now. Hey, so he said, Allah has taken me as a Khalil, as He took Ibrahim as a Khalil. والخلة لا نعلم أن ثبتت لأحد من البشر إلا لاثنين. It's important. خلة, we do not know of it being given to any of the creation of Allah except for two, Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم only. So you cannot say this to anyone else. The Shaykh will elaborate. هما إبراهيم ومحمد عليهما الصلاة والسلام. إبراهيم ومحمد لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله اتخذني خليلا كما اتخذ إبراهيم خليلا. Why? Because of the evidence. The hadith of Prophet ﷺ, Allah took me as a khalil as he took Ibrahim as a khalil. That's it. We don't have any other textual evidence that indicates that anyone else has been taken as a khalil. So then you cannot attribute that to anyone, because of you have to stick to the textual evidences. وهذه الخلة صفة من صفات الله عز وجل. This khulla, which is the intimate friendship, is an attribute from the attributes of Allah, or a quality from the qualities of Allah, the exalted. لأنها أعلى أنواع المحبة, because it is the highest level of love. وهي توقيفية. توقيفية, it cannot be translated into one English word as far as I know, but what توقيفية means, meaning it is conditional to availability of textual evidences. Meaning, they say for example, the ulama, العبادات توقيفية. Acts of worship are conditional to textual evidence. You cannot worship Allah unless you have an evidence. يعني this is, يعني it's restricted. Okay, it's restricted. You cannot add, delete, impose your opinion unless you have an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah which allows you to do something. If there's no such evidence, you're not allowed. That's what is intended. فَلَا يَجُوزُ أَن نُثْبِتَ لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَنَّهُ خَلِيلٌ إِلَّا بِدَلِيلٍ. It is not permissible to confirm that anyone is a khalil of Allah unless we have a textual evidence. حتى الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام, even the prophets, we cannot say Lut is, we cannot say Musa was, we cannot say Isa, no. إلا هذين الرسولين الكريمين فهما خليلان الله عز وجل. Except these two noble prophets, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and Prophet Ibrahim, they are the two يعني خليلان of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Only that level of love, that intimate friendship is only been given to Ibrahim and Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذه الآية, now you're going to hear something very strange, prepare yourself. وهذه الآية واتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا هي التي استشهد بها من قتل الجعد بن درهم رأس المعطل الجهمية. This ayah is the very ayah that was used as an evidence by the one who killed Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham. Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham is the head of the Mu'attila. We said the Mu'attila, ta'til is what? Denying. No. Ta'til is denying. Right? Tahrif is distorting. Ta'til is denying the meaning. The head of them, a group that is known among the Muslims, was Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham. He was the head of the Mu'attila al-Jahmiya, which is their name, or what they called also because of Jahm, whatever his name is, Jahm, one of his students. أول من أنكر قال إن الله لم يتخذ إبراهيم خليلا. He is the first one to deny that. He was يعني teaching the people or conveying to the people that his teachings, which were that Allah did not take Ibrahim as a Khalil. وَلَمْ يُكَلِّمْ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah did not speak to Musa. Although Allah says وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah says in the Quran, this guy, this funny guy, came and said no. Allah did not take Ibrahim as a Khalil and Allah did not speak to Musa. Because why? Of this sickness in their mind, this anthropomorphic understanding of Allah, that if Allah loved someone or Allah spoke, meaning Allah is like the creation. And they think if you say Allah is like creation, you become a kafir. So they deny the Quran, trying to avoid resembling Allah to his creation. And then the scholars say they fell into that. This is what you fell into, because had you not had this mentality, you wouldn't even be trying to deny it. And they wind up denying the verses in the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happened with him? فَقَتَلَهُ خَالِدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْقَصْرِي. He was killed by Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Qasri, because this is kufr. That statement. Nowadays, it's not my business and yours. We're not qualified. Of course, many has spread among the Muslims. This is when this fitna was, yani, when the bid'ah was still under control, because the sunnah was dominant. So when someone came with some far-fetched, you know, outlandish new belief system, and it was un-Islamic, it took him outside of Islam, then this is apostasy. This is riddah. Someone leaving Islam. So he was dealt with accordingly, like those who said that the Quran was created and many other things that happened back in the past. Nowadays, you know, if you meet a brother like that, you know, you cannot call takfir on him, because he may have this misunderstanding, he may have a shubha, he needs a scholar to call it, you know, clarify things for him, and at the end of the day, it's none of your business. to say that he's a kafir or not. If you establish the proof against him, then you take it back to the people who are qualified. But nonetheless, back then they had a different mentality, because the people were upon the sunnah. And so when someone came with these deviant teachings that are philosophical and they are against the aqidah of Islam, yani you make a statement of kufr. When you make a statement of kufr, then you were dealt with accordingly. You know what happened to him? حَيْثُ خَرَجَ بِهِ مُوَثَّقًا فِي يَوْمِ عِيدِ الْأَضْحَى وَخَطَبَ النَّاسِ وَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ ضَحُوا تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ ضَحَايَاكُمْ فَأَنِّي مُضَحٍ بِالْجَعْدِ بْنِ دِرْهَمْ. He went out on the day of Eid al-Adha with this guy, Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham, tied up. And he stood addressing the people, said, "Oh people, sacrifice. May Allah accept your sacrifice. I am sacrificing Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham." And he sacrificed him, and he just gave him what he deserves. لِأَنَّهُ زَعْمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَتَّخَذْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Don't panic now, brothers. Like, hold on. Now it's okay, you have to understand. There are rules in Islam. And Prophet ﷺ said, whoever exchanges his deen, whoever leaves alone Islam, whoever leaves the deen of truth, he is to be killed. No playing around. No lying to please the kafir. Ayyuh, murtad. The hukm of the murtad, he's an apostate, this is the ruling. These are people who are making statements of kufr. This would not happen unless someone had already explained to him that this is deviance, this is misguidance, and they give, you are denying the Quran. How can Allah say, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, and you stand and tell the people, Allah did not speak to Musa taklima? You see what I'm saying? That's like Allah saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدٍ. He says, no, Allah is not ahad. What do you want then? Wait, this is kufr. That is kufr. You're denying the Quran, and then teaching the people that, if he disbelieved and he stayed at home watching TV, leave him alone. But the guy is going out teaching this to the people. And if the people follow him, then he will take Muslims outside of Islam. So this person, you don't keep him around, and watch him, as for entertainment. You get rid of him. So the people will know, if you want to come up with some outlandish, new belief system, then you will get a similar treatment. So alhamdulillah, Allah protected his deen in this fashion. And, we accept everything that Allah has revealed to us. لِأَنَّهُ زَعْمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَيْوَ نَعْمَ. And he did not speak to Musa. ثُمَّ نَزَلَ فَذَبَحْ. So he went down from the minbar and he just, gave him the sword. Now Ibn al-Qayyim said, he compiled poetry regarding this. وَيَقُولُ Ibn al-Qayyim رَحِمَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَلِأَجْلِ ذَا ضَحَّى بِجَعْدٍ خَالِدُ الْقَصْرِيُّ يَوْمَ ذَبَائِحُ الْقُرْبَانِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَيْسَ خَلِيلَهُ كَلَّا وَلَا مُوسَى الْكَلِيمُ الدَّانِي شَكَرَ الضَّحِيَّةُ كُلُّ صَاحِبِ سُنَّةٍ لِلَّهِ دَرُّكَ مِنْ أَخِي قُرْبَانِ. Let me try to translate. This is tough. He said, because of that, Al-Khalid, the brother Khalid bin Qusay al-Qasri, he sacrificed Ja'd on the day where the sacrifices were given in order to seek nearness to Allah. Because that latter one said, Ibrahim, Allah did not take Ibrahim as Khalil, nor did Allah speak to Musa and bring him close to him. He says, every follower of Sunnah is thankful to the sacrifice. Every follower of the Sunnah is thankful to the sacrifice. What an excellent sacrifice that was, my brother. Something along these lines. فلدينا الآن محبة وود وخلة. فالمحبة والود مطلقة والخلة خاصة بإبراهيم ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عليهما وسلم. So the Sheikh said, now the conclusion is, we have love, which is the first level, right? Then what's after that? Before that? No? Ya Shia Shabab. Mahabba. Then? Look, Ya Shabab, in the middle. Khulla is the highest. Mahabba is the lowest, I guess. Then in between, Wud. Wadud. Hey. See, all this killing stuff got you off the track, huh?
That is full of love.
No. Yeah, full of love. But that is less than khulla. So it is in levels, love, wood, khulla. That's in order. Yani from the least to the highest, na'am. Or from the lowest to the highest in this case. Khulla.
Khulla.
Be careful, don't say khulla or something, wind up going into some other stuff. Okay, so khulla, kha, lam, ta, marbuta. With a shadda on the lam. Because khulla is just something else. Anywho,
Wow and
Dal. And from that is derived the attribute Wadud.
Wadud.
خلاص, that's clear. So then we have love, then followed with would, then the ultimate one is خلة. فالمحبة والود مطلقة والخلة خاصة بإبراهيم محمد. Both love and would, they are general. Anyone is qualified. Anyone is qualified to attain Allah's love and Allah's would, which is stronger than love. But خلة is specific and exclusive to Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Sheikh said, ويجب أن يكون اعتمادنا في الأمور الغيبية على الأدلة السمعية, لكن لا مانع من أن نستدل بأدلة عقلية. We, it is compulsory upon us to depend on the textual evidences concerning the unseen. Okay? Concerning all the things that we cannot see, the ghaib, we must depend on textual evidence. Your mind, set it aside. Because you may understand, you may not understand. So that is not the asl, that's not the principle. The principle is textual evidence. You have a textual evidence, you accept. Allah says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. In this case, خَلَص. Case closed. You understand how, you don't understand how. How did Allah speak to him? What was the sound like? Was it direct? Was it the speech of Allah? Now all these things, that's none of your business. That's none of your business. But you must believe in what Allah said through the textual evidence, because you may understand and another one may not understand, and someone may have more understanding than both of you, and you know, people vary in this particular fashion. But the Shaykh said, وَلَكِنْ لَا مَانِعَ مِنْ أَنَّ نَسْتَدِلَّ بِأَدِلَّةٍ عَقْلِيَةٍ. Yet, there's no harm in using also intellectual evidences to support our cause. After we have used the textual evidence, then there's no harm in using, you know, also logic to confirm that this textual evidence is also within reason. Okay. It is not something that is illogical. Beautiful. لإلزام من أنكر أن تكون المحبة ثابتة بالأدلة العقلية. This is to prove to those who deny the quality of love through logical and intellectual evidences. مثل الأشاعرة, لأشاعرة, a group of among the Muslims, يقولون لا يمكن أن تثبت المحبة بين أن تثبت المحبة بين الله وبين العبد أبدا. The Ashaira, they say, there's no way that you can prove love between Allah and his slave. Ever. This will never, to them, you can never say that Allah loves his slave. Okay, to them, this is something that is unacceptable, impossible, not doable. لِأَنَّ الْعَقْلَ لَا يَدُلْ عَلَيْهِ. Because they say the mind doesn't indicate that. They don't understand how could the creator of the heavens and the earth love a servant. You see? That's they're using their, they don't even have logic, yes, if they had logic, they don't even understand. Isn't it logical that Allah loves someone? It is. But to them it's not logical. So they deny the Quran. And all the verses that we quoted earlier, 8 of them, 9 of them, they deny all of them because in their mind it's no way can Allah can love someone. Okay, so وكل ما يدل عليه لأن العقل أيوة وكل ما لا يدل عليه العقل فإنه يجب أن ننزه الله عنه. ننزه الله عنه. And they said, anything that is not indicated through logic, we must free Allah from that. We must free Allah from anything that the mind does not accept. طيب. The Shaykh said, فَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ, we will say, نُثْبِتُ الْمَحَبَّةَ بِالْأَدِلَّةِ الْعَقْلِيَّةِ كَمَا هِيَ ثَابِتَ عِنْدَنَا بِالْأَدِلَّةِ السَّمْعِيَّةِ. We will prove to you intellectually through logic the same way we have it already proven through the textual evidences, meaning from the Quran and the Sunnah. احْتِجَاجًا عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ ثُبُوتِهَا بِالْعَقْلِ. Only to use as an evidence for those who claim that the mind does not support that. فَنَقُولُ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقُ. We say, and Allah is the source of success. إِثَابَةُ الطَّائِعِينَ بِالْجَنَّاتِ وَالنَّصْرِ وَالتَّأْيِيدِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ هَذَا يَدُلُّ بِلَا شَكٍّ عَلَى الْمَحَبَّةِ. Allah جل جلاله aiding his obedient servants with gardens, paradise, and with victory on earth, and with support and other things of this nature, is a clear indication that there's love. No doubt this indicates love. If Allah is going to give you Jannah, how you... Come on, man. وَنَحْنُ نُشَاهِدُ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَنَسْمَعُ بِأَذَانِنَا عَمَّنْ سَبَقَ وَعَمَّنْ لَحِقَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَيَّدَ مَنْ أَيَّدَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَنَصَرَهُمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ. The Shaykh said, we see with our own eyes and we hear with our own ears from those who came before us and those who have come after that Allah has aided some people among his righteous believing servants, and he gave him victory and he rewarded them. وَهَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى الْمَحَبَّةِ لِمَنْ أَيَّدَهُمْ بِوَنَصَرَهُمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. is this anything except an indication that Allah loved them because He gave them victory and He aided them and He rewarded them? وهنا سؤالان. Two questions. بماذا خلص. This is how he refuted that. This refutes them. The fact that Allah gives you Jannah, you must have some love. Obviously. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and a person going to Jahannam? Two questions arise. بماذا ينال الإنسان محبة الله عز وجل. How does one of us attain Allah's love? That's really the fundamental thing now. The practical benefit for me and you. وهذه هي التي يطلبها كل إنسان. This is what every human being strives for. This is what you should be asking for. This is what you should be exerting your whole life just to get that. والمحبة عبارة عن أمر فطري يكون في الإنسان ولا يملكه. Love is something that is usually found in the natural disposition of man and he has no control over it. You know, you love someone sometimes even if you don't want to love them. It's just, you know, natural, just the way you were born. ولهذا يروى أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال في العدل بين زوجاته هذا قسمي فيما أملك فلا تلمني فيما لا أملك. Pay attention with me now, this is very crucial. The Sheikh said ولهذا يروى. يروى, notice now, this is a form, it's called in Arabic, this is in the language, in the science of hadith, صيغة التمريض. تمريض is like illness. And this particular term indicates illness. يعني that which will come after is not authentic. Pay attention. If you hear the alim or the mufti or the da'iya, if they know, if they have knowledge, of course, I mean the du'at who may have knowledge about these particular things. If he says, instead of saying قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم or something along these lines, he says يُرْوَى. يُرْوَى meaning it is narrated. Is he always, يعني his, as they call it in English, the passive voice. You know, you have the active voice. You know, I ate the chocolate. The passive, the chocolate was eaten. By who? We don't know. But that's not the point. The point is that the chocolate was gone. Active and passive. Yurwa is mabni limajul. It's unknown. It's narrated. Whenever you hear that word, yurwa, meaning pay attention to the hadith that would be quoted, is not sahih. Tayyib. Is that clear? It may be now where the alim will think it's not sahih and he will say yurwa, but according to alim of hadith, it is sahih. So then you have to really investigate what is this hadith. You must go back to the ulama of hadith and verify, is this really sahih or is it da'if? Is that clear? So yurwa, remember that one. Yurwa, ya, ra, waw, alif maqsura. You know the ya without the two dashes. Khalas?
It's the same as riwayah.
Aywa, riwayah.
Same
thing, but because it is in the passive voice, yurwa, it is narrated with a question mark, that means it's tamrid, sickness. There's a sickness, yani what is intended, this is not healthy, that sound, what will be quoted after. And here he quoted a hadith, what Prophet ﷺ said regarding justice, he said, O Allah, this is my division regarding what I have power over, which is dividing my time and dividing my money and what have you. So do not hold me accountable for that which I have no control of, which is loving one more than the other. That particular hadith was classed as da'if by Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullah alayh. So that hadith turned out to be da'if. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah was knowledgeable of that. That's why he used the word yurwa, meaning it is narrated. And they may use that just to try to prove a point, not that you would base anything on it. In this particular case, you're not going to base anything on this hadith. You see what I'm saying? It's only trying to prove the idea of how to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, is that clear? So this hadith is da'if. But the meaning is correct. We understand it from other things, from the reality of Prophet ﷺ that he loved Aisha more than his other wives. And we know that there was no harm. Again, there was no harm in doing that. Because this is something that you have no control of. You don't control how much you love people. It's not like, you know, it's like a gas. You know, you pump your love, you know, up full. So you love this wife full and you love this wife full. You cannot do that. It's just natural. You know, you may love even your children. It doesn't mean you mistreat them or you oppress one over the other. But you may love one more than the other. Especially if one brings good grades to school, from school, and the other one is, you know, getting F's all across. You know, you can have a little love for the first more than the second. But that doesn't mean that you mistreat them because of that. Hey. So, طيب فالجواب أن المحبة لها أسباب كثيرة. The answer is attaining the love of Allah has a number of means, number of ways to bring about the love of Allah. منها, the first amongst them, أن ينظر الإنسان من الذي خلقه. This is let the human look, observe who is he who created him, right? ومن الذي أمده بالنعم منذ كان في بطن أمه. Who is it that has delivered to him bounties and sustenance since he was in his mother's womb? ومن الذي أجرى إليك الدم في عروق الدم الدم في عروقك قبل أن تنزل إلى الأرض إلا الله عز وجل. And who is the one who made the blood circulate in your veins prior to coming to this earth except Allah Azza wa Jal? من الذي دفع عنك النقم التي انعقدت أسبابها. Who is he who had removed the calamity away from you after everything was already established so you will be afflicted with this calamity, yet it was removed. وكثيرا ما تشاهد بعينك آفات ونقما تهلكك أو تهلكك فيرفعها الله عنك. And very often you find yourself in a predicament where you think that, you know, you're in such a big trouble that you're about to be destroyed, and then Allah will alleviate that. You know, sometimes, you know, you mess around too much where you think, khalas, you've destroyed yourself. And then you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually get you out of the situation and you'll get back on track. So who does that? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا لَا شَكُّ أَن يَجْلِبَ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَلِهَذَا وَرَدَ فِي الْأَثَرِ أحب الله لما يغدوكم به من النعم. He said this without a doubt brings about love. This is why it was mentioned in the athar. Another technical information. Athar, who knows what athar means?
The root or the grass.
I know athar.
I mean, it has a linguistic meaning and an Islamic legal meaning. A linguistic meaning, athar is a trace. Trace, and if somebody walked here and they left some footprints, this is the athar that they left behind, so we know that someone walked in here. Linguistically, Islamically or legally, athar is any statement that was attributed either to the Prophet ﷺ or his companions or at-tabi'in. Because you don't call, for example, the statement of Al-Hasan al-Basri hadith. You see what I'm saying? You call it athar. Athar, يعني that which is traced back to an individual. It could be the Prophet ﷺ, and it could be his companions, or it could be one of the tabi'in. Anytime you have a statement of any of these, we call it an athar. Okay, which is as opposed to hadith, which is specific to the Prophet ﷺ. Is that clear? Right.
So, sorry, the statement of the Sahabas or the tabi'in.
And the Prophet ﷺ. The Shaykh said, including the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't say that actually. This is the, this was our Shaykh. Hafizahullah, he's the one who gave us this, يعني these, some of these hints, so I'm just sharing them with you as well. He said, إِمَّا قَوْلُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ الصَّحَابَةَ أَوْ التَّابِعِينَ. نعم. Anyways, the other says, love Allah due to that which He bestows upon you from His bounties. Love Allah due to that which He bestows upon you from His bounties. وَأَعْتَقِدُ لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَهَدَى إِلَيْكَ قَلَمًا لَأَحْبَبْتَ. If someone gave you a pen, you would love him. Right or wrong? Even if it's a 1 riyal pen. You know? That, you know, whatever. Cheap pen, still, mashallah, zakallahu khairan. You, ala tool, you would find there's a love for the brother that wasn't there just before the pen. Yani it was immediately established. And if somebody gave you a car, what are you going to do? If you went outside, you know, brother said, akhi, you know, I love you for the sake of Allah, this is a car for you. So what? Brother, you will hug him till Fajr. Don't let go. Akhi, khalas, I gotta go take your car. No, brother, jazakallah khair, brother. Wallah, I love you very much because He gave you a car. But Allah gave you a car and a house and health and. But Allah musta'an. So we got, you know, some twisted understanding of things. فَإِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ أَنْظُرْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. He said, if this is the case, look at the bounties of Allah upon you. النعم العظيمة الكثيرة التي لا تحصيها. So abundant, so many, you cannot even count them. Especially from the time you were, before you were born, up until today, until you pass away. تحب الله, then you must love Allah, you know. But then we don't do that, usually, because of our, you know, sicknesses. We actually disobey Him. Not only we don't love Him, which is يعني a problem, rather we go against His commandments, we go against the Prophet ﷺ, we disregard the deen of Islam, we don't bother to support the deen of Islam, give da'wah to the deen of Islam. Not all of us, I'm saying, but Muslims in general, يعني, with the various shortcomings that each one of us has, we don't do the job as they did the job. ولهذا إذا جاءت النعمة وأنت في حاجة شديدة إليها تجد قلبك ينشرح وتحب الذي أزداها إليك بخلاف النعمة الدائمة. He said this is why if you suddenly received a bounty while you are in dire need of it, يعني you needed 200 riyals and somebody gave you 200 riyals at the time of need, your heart will open up for that. He, you know, and you will love the one who gave it to you, unlike the ni'mah that is continuous, that which you are used to already. فأنت تذكر هذه النعم التي أعطاك الله. So the Shaykh said, you remember that bounty that Allah has given you, the sustenance. وتذكر أيضا أن الله فضلك على كثير من عباده المؤمنين. Also remember that Allah has favored you over many of His righteous servants, of His believing servants, not righteous servants, excuse me, over His believing servants. إن كان الله من عليك بالعلم, Allah may have bestowed upon you knowledge, given you knowledge. فقد فضلك بالعلم. So He has favored you with knowledge. أو بالعبادة, or worship. You may be a devout worshipper who prays at night, do qiyam al-layl, you know, gives a lot of sabaka, a lot of, you know, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People, you know, go up and they vary in these levels. فقد فضلك بالعبادة أو بالمال. Maybe Allah gave you some money. Brothers got money, man, spending money all day, like Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. فقد فضلك بالمال. Then Allah has favored you with money. أو بالأهل. قد فضلك بالأهل. Your family. You may have a righteous family, good wife, an obedient wife, and you know that's a bounty in this day and time. If you have a good wife that you know observes the rights of Allah, you leave the house feeling a peace of mind that you know your house is safe, it's protected. You know your wife is fearful of Allah. Otherwise, you live a life of detective. You know people trying to come into the house, you know, 2 a.m, trying to be funny and stuff, always thinking his wife is doing something. You know, imagine what kind of life this would be. A'udhu billah, this is a rough. So when you know your wife, even if you go overseas and you travel for a month, she protects herself and she observes the rights of Allah, then this is an ni'mah from Allah. Not everybody has that. أو بالقوت, even food. فقد فضلك بالقوت. Brothers, man, make these funny examples. I need to stop this stuff in the class. Or maybe food, then Allah has favored you with food. Even food. Some people don't have any food to eat. وَمَا مِن نِعْمَةٍ إِلَّا وَتَحْتُهَا مَا دُونِيَا أو إِلَّا وَتَحْتِهَا مَا دُونِيَا. There isn't a ni'mah except that there is something under it. Whatever is, there is something below that. فَأَنْتَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَ هَذِي النِّعْمَ الْعَظِيمَةِ شَكَرْتَ اللَّهَ وَأَحْبَبْتَ. So if you identify this ni'mah that Allah has given you, which is better than what He has given others, then you would be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will love Him in return. I think we will conclude, and the Shaykh will still mention the second way to attain the love of Allah, the third, and maybe more. Yeah, we'll be going into some heated discussion soon, inshallah, about different issues. We'll just wait until the time comes around. So, Jazakumullah khairan, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.